Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Tuesday, December 11th, 2018, people. Thanks for the love this morning. It's the Bish and Bick Show again on the Junkies, 106.7 The Fan. Of course, you can watch us on NBC Sports Washington.
You getting love this morning already?
Of course, always getting love.
Oh,
texters always giving love.
You.
By the way, you can call us at 800-636-1067, and you can text us at that exact same number on the zip line. On the show today, we're going to talk to Rick Snyder, Washington Post Express.
He's all fired up about the Skins.
Sports columnist, and he will give us his thoughts on the Skins and that whole debacle. Mike Locksley is going to join us at 820, new football coach in Maryland. Just talking to Pedro and Deportes about the Locksley hire. That'll be a good conversation. Alan May will talk Caps hockey, as he does every Tuesday. And we'll talk to Jerry Brewer of the Washington Post. He's got some interesting thoughts on Bruce Allen.
Yeah, well, he wants to get rid of him like everybody else in town.
Yeah, I know.
So join the club.
I was reading that article in the Post about, the Redskins fans getting all jacked up that he may go join Gruden with the Raiders.
It's now
that Reggie McKenzie was fired out there. But, yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's fake news.
I don't think
anybody in the league would hire him.
Yeah.
I heard Grant say there might be one team, maybe the Rams, and he has a connection with somebody over there. But I just don't see anybody hiring him. I think his NFL career is pretty much done.
Now, Allen, of course, worked with Gruden a couple different times, but and I didn't realize this, but this is what, I guess Chris Russell was reporting this. Apparently, they don't really talk anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're not tight.
He's a fraud. I mean, if you know Bruce at all, get to know him, he's just like a slicky boy.
Yeah, no one likes him.
Yeah, and he's terrible at his job. Record speaks for itself.
Yeah, why are you going to bring someone in who's 58, 82, They're and
not.
2 or whatever?
It's not. As soon as I saw it, I laughed.
So are we stuck with them here in Washington? That's the question.
No, they're going to have to just fire him at some point.
Yeah.
I feel like the momentum is building. We've been saying for years that Bruce has got to go, but he's just kind of given up on the idea of it. But with everyone jumping on the bandwagon, I think eventually it'll happen. They got rid of Vinny. Vinny, I think, was tighter.
Yeah,
than Bruce is.
That's true.
With Dan.
There's been a lot of negative stories about this. And we would hope that Snyder's reading them or someone's telling him. Someone's got to have his ear and say, look, dude, we got to make a change.
That dude is an unbelievable enigma. I mean, the way Dan Snyder, how can you have such a public job, essentially, be owner of the Washington Redskins, be out there every week, and nobody really knows you? Nobody knows you. Doesn't talk to anybody. We just don't know the guy.
Mm-mm.
Other than the horrible stories that we all hear. what
an
enigma.
Strange
dude. That guy's going to go down as one of the great DC enigmas of all time.
Yes, he will. Absolutely. So we'll see if there's any changes coming.
I pulled a lurch this morning when I got up. It's so cold outside. Like, my house is cold. In fact, I had to have my guy Pete out there to something went wrong with my furnace the other day.
Pete from?
It's just a local guy.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's a local guy that, in a pinch, should just come by real quick. And
right.
I don't know, I had to replace something. Took a day or two to get the part. But
so you had no heat for a couple days?
No, I mean, I have two of those. So, right. I mean, it was fine.
So one was working
maybe
overtime.
One was working a little more. I went outside today. It was so cold in the kitchen. When I came downstairs, I said, "Well, I'm going to pull a lurch. I'm going to heat the car up." But I tell you, I don't know if I guess it's worth it.
I do that every morning.
I know that's why I said I pull a lurch. But you have to go outside and be butt cold, sit in the car, turn it on, then go back in the house and warm up again.
Okay, but on the flip side, if you don't do that, then you are cold for 15 minutes car warms up.
Yeah, but then you're not going in and out.
So I'm going to sacrifice the 10 seconds that I'm in the car to warm it up. For the 15 minutes of warmth.
I did it. I pulled the lurch. I don't know what the temperature was.
Mid-20s
or something?
Gotta be in the 20s.
Yeah.
It's just miserable.
I was on
every single morning I pull, go through the garage. The garage door goes open. Dog wants to go out. I go out there. And sit
well,
there.
I guess you got to go out there anyway to let the dog out,
well,
right?
She doesn't go out every morning, but a lot of times she does. And, yeah, start the car. Put the heat on.
Yeah. No, I did all that.
And then I let it run for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
No, I didn't let it run.
And it's warm and toasty when I get in.
I let it run for about 5 minutes. It's all I
need. Do you boys do that? You guys warm up the car before you go?
I did yesterday.
I did it today.
Usually you don't, though?
Usually I just, it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Really?
Yeah, it is a pain in the ass.
So aren't you miserable for like the first 15 minutes of your trip?
It's like 5 minutes.
No, no. Yeah, 3 minutes.
Three?
It doesn't take that long to heat up.
Oh, all right.
Got a silly heated steering wheel.
The heated steering wheel is one of the greatest inventions. Yeah, I don't know. You know, the Beamers have had it for years, but I don't know who first came up with it. It's not proprietary, right? Because all the car companies have it now. It's unbelievable. In fact, one of my cars, my wife's van, has everything but that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your butt's warm, your back's warm, you breathe a nice warm air. But if your hands are cold, you're still butt cold. I hate this time of year. I don't like it.
I don't mind it during the holidays, but once we get to January, I do. Yeah, I'm out.
I don't like it. I'm a summer guy. I like it nice and hot. I don't care if it's 90. I like it hot.
Yeah, so
as you can tell by what I wear every day.
My car was warm and toasty when I got in.
Yeah.
Seats heated, steering wheel rocking.
So, come in.
Sometimes I actually have to roll the windows down a little bit. It's so hot in there.
You do?
Sometimes I'll crack it.
I had to do that just because there was a little frost on my window, on my side windows.
Yeah.
All my frost is gone on my front and my back, but on my side windows. I also had to come in a different way this morning because I normally come in BW Parkway. And yesterday, it was like an extra 20-minute backup because they've kind of changed construction. There were no lanes that were closed, but people were just like, I guess they were rubbernecking just to see sort of the new traffic pattern and the new toys that were out there working on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't want to risk it today, and I went GW. The GW Parkway in the morning, people drive like a maniac on that thing. You know, I don't feel comfortable with that. So
why,
I stay on the right lane.
Why is everyone in such a rush to get to work?
I don't know. People are flying in the morning on the GW Parkway.
Maybe it's because they want to get to work early and leave early.
I guess.
So if they post up at, you know, 6 a.m., maybe they can get out
of
there by
3. I just feel like they probably sleep in as long as they can, and they leave their house as late as they can, and they figure they'll make up the time on the road.
Yeah.
That's what I assume.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I like to leave my house early and then just chill on the drive-in. And people, man, if you're in the left lane on the GW Parkway, they are up your butt. It's a nightmare.
Well, your boy got pulled over this morning.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Why?
Because there's one light in my neighborhood as I'm leaving my neighborhood that's just, for whatever reason, this is long.
It's interminable.
Yeah. And most of the time, now I believe that pre 5 a.m., this should be a law. Pre 5 a.m., either the light should be flashing, all right, so they should be equivalent to stop signs, or you should be able to run them if there's no traffic.
So you just ran it?
I run it every morning. Every single morning, if it's red, I run it. I mean, I make sure there's no traffic.
You treat it as a four-way stop.
Because if I stay there, I swear to God, I feel like I'm there for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why this light's so long. So usually, I just run
it. Now, when you run it, do you run it to go straight across it or
straight
to turn right?
Straight across.
Yeah.
All right. Just now, I stop. I make sure there's no cars.
You treat it like a four-way stop.
Four-way stop. And then I run it.
Yeah.
And knowing my luck, what do you think was happening?
Well, I mean, if you do it every day.
I do it every day.
So, I mean, you got caught once.
But there's a cop coming on the other side. I'm not going to tell you what his name was. He told me what his name was. I'm not going to tell you if he was a statey or sheriff's
department.
Oh,
so he hooked you up then.
He pulled me over. He says, do you know what you just did? I said, yeah. He said, well, why'd you do that? I said, because I'm late for work, and that light's the longest in the country. I said that. He goes, well, you still can't do it. I said, yeah, I understand that, officer, but I'm running a little late. He goes, what do you do? I had to say it.
So then you got hooked?
I had to say it, boys.
Hold on. Tell me exactly what you said to him.
I said, I have a radio show.
Right.
He says, he asked
for my
license.
He probably started to recognize your
voice.
Well,
he asked me for the license. Then he obviously recognized my name. He goes, I've been a P1 for a long time. He says, just make sure there's no cops around. Thank you, Officer Friendly. I told him. I said, I do it every day. He says, yeah, no, we've had some complaints about this light, but, you know, it's still the law. And I said, yeah, I understand. I appreciate it. I got hooked.
It's great. Welcome.
The P in P1 stands for police.
Yeah, yeah. So there are some P1s out there, Johnny Law. So
that is one thing I remember from the Christmas party is that I want to bring back the P1 party in 2019 if we sign our contract.
Well, let's make it an Ashburn.
If we still are working.
Right, because we probably won't ever sign the contract.
Yeah,
so.
May not.
We still have no contract, and it's December 11th.
Yeah. So Dravy,
usually,
put that...
by the way, with our old agent who passed away, Bob Eatman, we would have a contract sometime in October.
Yeah. Well, the company.
What's the latest it ever went?
Different company then.
Of course, but what's the latest it ever went? You think? If our contract's expired on December 31st,
I don't know. I never really.
I don't think it ever went past.
Usually it was done by November.
Definitely not Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're talking. Yeah, something will probably work out, but it's, you know, it's not a pleasant experience.
No,
I'll say that.
I'm not hopeful.
It's not a pleasant experience. Let's just say that.
That's fine. I just won't work.
Yeah. So Dravy, we put that on the agenda for 2019 if we work, or if we're doing a podcast. Yeah, if we're doing a podcast, we're gonna do P1 parties all the time.
All right.
That'll be all the time. Are you kidding?
If we're just doing the podcast.
If we're just doing a podcast?
Right.
Oh, yeah, we'll be doing them every month.
Yeah. What are you boys going to do when we're not working?
Those guys who work for us.
Well, they're not going to make as much money.
Not
that they're making a lot of money
now. They're not making
now.
That's actually the good thing for them.
Paycheck, Jason. Yeah.
The good thing for them is...
If we're doing a podcast, it's going to be smaller.
It might be, but it actually might not be that much smaller for them. It might actually be... ultimately, they might make more.
I mean, there's probably a 55% chance we're not doing the show on January 1st.
I don't know.
Well, actually, we're off on January 1st, but January 2nd.
It's a very good question. Well,
then we'll be
at my house.
Does Dukes need another producer?
Producing Travis Thomas' show,
right.
I guess. I
Travis Thomas' experience. Yeah, good for Travis.
ABCK will fill in the mornings with Matt and Matt.
Well,
I feel a little bit more comfortable in my bargaining position then.
Yeah, but they could pay those guys like $8 an hour.
Yeah.
Save a lot of money.
They'll let Adam host mornings. He'll do it for free.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
When is are you prepping at all? If I was you, Adam, I would be nervous. Are you prepping at all?
I mean, I'm going through some ideas in my head.
What are we talking about? The Christmas show?
Yeah, my Christmas show. December 25th, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Yeah, we
on
do know when Christmas is.
Hey, by the way, do you know Adam is the only live content on Christmas Day?
That's crazy. It's good.
Yeah, I'm hoping the Redskins are still in the hunt so I can, you know, get some calls.
Hey, you know what? I'm hoping too, buddy.
Right?
Well, based on these other NFC, these other teams just don't want to win that sixth spot.
Vikings are poo.
I know.
So last night I didn't watch any of the stupid Monday Night Football.
Terrible
game. I had zero interest. But it's not like I watched anything better. I was watching a terrible Wizards game where at one point they were down 26. Now, they then cut it to like 9 or 8 or something.
Wow, they were down 26.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what?
I
looked at the starting lineup. Besides Beal, I mean, all backups, pretty much.
Yeah, it's just just play defense. You don't have to be great to play defense. You know, get some rebounds. You know, they don't close out on anybody. Whatever. Same old, same old.
Did Depot light him up?
He's not playing. He's missed quite a few games.
Oh, he's out.
Yeah, he's out.
So their best player's out. But they have Miles Turner. Miles Turner probably lit him up a little bit.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to them. But I was watching that until 9. Then 9, I had to watch Street Outlaws. But anyway, I came in this morning, and Drabby was all giddy that his Seahawks, so I don't think they played that great, right? You guys didn't play that great.
Defensively, they
did. Well, there's two sides of the ball.
Yeah,
defensively,
okay.
They were really good.
Did enough, I guess, for Kirk to have another sort of dismal showing, and everyone's now piling on. See, when you sign an $84 million contract and your team's 6-6-1 or whatever the hell they are.
Yeah.
and what were they last year?
Oh, that, you know what?
13-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Case Keenum.
And I guess now Kirk is lifetime. Is he 0-7? Did I read that this morning?
On Monday nights?
On Monday nights. Lifetime.
Here are the stats. So, record in primetime games. Our buddy Sean Glennon sent me this today. Kirk Cousins in primetime games, 5-13. His record versus winning teams. This is alarming. 4-24. Kirk Cousins is 4-24.
In primetime games?
No. 4-24 against winning teams.
Oh, winning teams.
So teams with winning records when he plays them. His record versus winning teams this year, 0-5. His career road record is 12-23-2. And you already mentioned his career record on Monday nights, 0-7.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you look at the Vikings and who they've beaten this year, they've beaten, I guess their best win was when they beat the Eagles in Philly, but they've beaten the Niners, the Cardinals, the Jets, the Lions, and the Packers. So none of those teams have winning records.
Didn't they have a loss at home to the Bills, right?
They lost to the Bills. They got pummeled by the Bills. So they haven't beaten a good team. So rightly so, he's getting criticized, and plus they can't run the ball. I mean, I don't get it. But they were awful last night. There must have been 12 or 13 punts in that game last night. I mean, I watched it until the half, a little bit into the third quarter. So I had a little cash on it. I had the over, not even close. But there was just punt. Now, I know there was a controversial call on the punt block by Wagner. The field goal block.
They push him over the top.
But I didn't get the feeling the Vikings were ever going to score anyway.
Very controversial. He used his teammates to prop himself up.
It was a flag.
Probably would have been a flag. I don't know. It's some sort of weird judgment call whether or not he actually uses leverage, which, what is that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Did he push himself up? It was a terrible game, but good for everyone else that has a team in the NFC because they all needed the Seahawks to win to kind of take that wild card and knock the Vikings down. Now it's a free-for-all for that last seed, and the Redskins are definitely
They're still in play.
Because everyone else is so poopy.
Hey, they've got the same personnel that was a shutdown defense there for 4 or 5 weeks. They've got the same guys other than Quentin Dunbar.
Right, they're just allowing 400 yards a game.
Fix that. Got the same guys. Fix it.
Do you really think they're going to fix it?
I think they could play better. Yes.
If they allow 400 yards,
I do think they could play better.
If they allow 400 yards to Cody Kessler,
I don't think they will.
Then you got to fire the entire staff.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
But Drab's right. I mean, Minnesota's 6-6-1. They're still in that sixth spot, but they suck. They've lost 3 out of 4. Carolina, they're dead. They're still in the mix. Philadelphia, they're 6-7. They're average. Below average. Washington's still in the mix. Green Bay's still in the mix.
I'm not giving up on the Skins yet. Sorry. It's my favorite team. I'm not giving up on them yet. I saw just a little glimmer. Now, if Josh Johnson goes out there and gets sacked 5 times and throws 2 picks, a pick six and all that in the first half, then I'll give up. But until then, I'm not.
I just think it's funny that no one wants to take that 6th spot and just run with it.
Well,
now, Minnesota has Miami next week, and that's a home game. Miami's terrible on the road. If that's at Miami, they probably win. But they got Miami, then they've got to go to Detroit, and then they got Chicago.
They can win 2 of those 3 easy.
Yeah, I think they probably will. But Washington's still alive. It's amazing.
Yeah, of course.
Kirk sucks. He just racked up 70 yards in 1 minute in garbage time last night. It was a classic Kirk Cousins.
It's fine. I don't care. I wish we had him.
Hey, I can't debate it. He has not been very good.
No, you don't.
I
for $84 million, you don't. You would have no one else on the team.
We'd be at a better spot, probably, if we had him this year.
Well, if your quarterback breaks his leg.
The one thing he has is durable.
He'd still be playing.
Right.
And we probably would have scored a few more points early on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Shocker, he had another fumble last night.
Yeah, look, he's not a great quarterback.
A fumble 6.
He's pretty good.
All right, so on the show today, we got Rick Snyder, Mike Locksley, Alan May, Jerry Brewer.
It's a packed show, don't you know?
Yeah, when we come back, we'll get into a little of the Junkie Sports page. Stay with us.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Junks. Tuesday morning. Jason Bishop, Eric Bickle. All week, just the two of us. The two-man show rotation over the holidays. I'll be off next week and the following. Eric works next week, I believe, with JP, and then he's off for a couple weeks. He goes down to Jupiter, Florida.
I'm going there for a week or so. Should be nice.
So jelly.
Don't be jealous.
You gonna play any Gaff?
Oh, no. I'm with it with the fam.
I know, but maybe you can get away for a day. Play a gaff.
No. We'll hang out. We got a nice pool and got a little tiki bar in the backyard.
Is this a little Airbnb?
Basically.
Yeah.
I think I used homeaway.com. In fact, I got to go find my spot.
How many rooms in the house?
I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head.
How many people are going?
Seven.
So you're probably three rooms, four rooms?
Yeah, it's something like that. It's not an extraordinary house or anything, but it's a nice house. Mm-hmm. It's like half a mile from the beach or something like that. That'd be good.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to it. Get away a little bit. Hopefully it's warm. Has it, like, what's it been like in Florida right now? Like, I wonder, I'm going to do that right now. What's the temperature right now in Jupiter, Florida today?
I bet you the high today is going to be 78.
Well, that'd be silly.
Well, I mean, it's Florida.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, it's not going to be 50. You're going to be in the 70s or 80s,
but
I bet.
It's 45 right now. Let me see. Oh.
What's the high today?
Says Friday, high of 80. Today, the high is 63. So it could be all over the place.
All right, a little cold front going there.
Yeah. Friday would be a high of 80, though. Well, if I get 80, I'll be butt sized.
Yeah, you'd be good. All right, so we're going to jump into
the water will be
space.
Cold, though, right? The water will be cold.
No, nah, it'll be warm.
I think it'll be a little coldish.
Well, what's cold?
Just feels cold.
72?
Feels cold. I don't know what the temperature is. It's just going to feel cold. That's why we'll probably, I bet you we mostly just stay at the house and then, you know, got to eat and that sort of thing. We'll go to the beach for a couple days, I'm sure, but. It's not going to be like you spend 8 hours at the beach every day, especially when it's not, like, especially when you're not on
the
beach.
Well, if it's 80, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
I bet you the water is very warm.
It says 78 degrees.
Oh, 78. For the water temp?
For the ocean water.
Oh, that sounds pretty good then, right?
Right.
Is that pretty good? I don't even know. It's not like I know what water temperature
is.
Yeah,
that's very a warm.
That sounds
very warm.
That sounds warm.
Yeah. Well, that's silly then.
That's what the...
That's a Jupiter?
That's what the water temp is at, like, you know, Dewey Beach in the middle of July.
Oh, that's good then. That'd be
nice. All right, so you want to jump into the sports page?
Sure.
All right, we were talking about that Monday night game last night.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. Not interested. Even though I know Kirk was performing or not performing.
21-7, Seattle gets the win, so they improved to 8-5.
I told you he's freaking dead to me. He literally is dead to me.
Minnesota dropped to 6-6-1.
You know who he's also dead to? Mike Florio. I mean, I know that they've... you know, Florio's bashing before, but now Florio just calls him Kurt all the time.
Does he really?
He hates him.
Why does he hate him? What's
he
the deal?
I think Florio's a Vikings fan.
Oh,
I think
really?
That's where
he's a Vikings fan?
That's what Valdez said, and I think that sounds familiar.
I didn't realize that.
I want to say he is.
That's
But I'm not willing to put the whole
Send him a direct message. Just say, for the record, are you a Vikings fan? Like, why are you trolling Kirk?
I mean, he's calling him Kirk Cousins in his articles.
Is he?
Yes.
All right. Well, get him on the show. I'd like to talk to him about
Kirk didn't do anything to him. What's he bitter about?
Yeah, his Wikipedia says he's a lifelong Vikings fan.
So he didn't want him to spend the $84 million on Kirk?
Maybe
I don't know.
Yeah. Not like Case Keenum's lighting the world on fire by any stretch.
No, but Case Keenum wasn't making $84
million. Yeah, that's true.
So Kirk Cousins was 20 of 33 for 208. Most of that, I guess, was in the... that fourth quarter when it was just meaningless.
My timeline was just riddled with people just saying how badly he was playing last night.
So. He was missing open. They had first and goal from the 5-yard line.
Couldn't score.
Kurt's missing open guys and then waiting too long.
Yeah. Mm. And they couldn't run. They ran for 77 yards. Dalvin Cook ran for 55. He was the leader. But Cousins did have a fumble, and then Seattle picked it up and returned it for a touchdown. So that's what he does. Russell Wilson wasn't very good either. 10 for 20 for 72 yards and a pick.
You know what's funny? I noticed that Drabby.
But they ran for 250.
Drabby's
yards.
A Seahawks fan. And I assume, do you think you have like a lot of Seahawks followers or something? Because you like live tweet. Like I'll live tweet the game if I'm into it. And, you know, like Redskins game. But most of my followers are watching the Redskins. You live tweet a Seahawks game.
Why?
And you go like, WTF Russell? Question mark. And you're like,
what? Do people what even else know? Would I tweet about?
I don't know. Who else is on your timeline cares about the Seahawks?
Not very many, but there's like 10 people that
like
respond.
10? Yeah, oh, okay. All right.
Believe me, I don't care what they're interested in.
I see what you're up to over there. Like, you really not, geeked up for these Seahawks games.
Sounds like you're perusing his Twitter a lot.
No, I'm just sitting there with my computer on my lap.
I'm psyched. The team was supposed to win 4 games, and they're going to
win 11.
But this
way, his tweet turned me on to the game, not at all.
Well, your tweets about J.J. DeBoss turned me on, not at all.
Yeah. I didn't tweet once about J.J. yesterday.
Well, you tweeted about Memphis Outlaws.
I'm going to watch it at 9, and I did.
That is funny. So you were tweeting.
He likes to live tweet the Seahawks
so
game.
You have 9
like
or 10
people.
Guys?
I tweeted 3 times in 3 hours.
Okay, are they Seahawks fans that are responding?
A couple.
Yeah.
Mostly just sports.
He's bored at home. He has no one to talk to, so he Yeah, tweets okay. it out there. He tweets out his thoughts.
Yeah, listen, wrong I do the same thing for the skins.
You do the same.
I do the same thing for the skins, but the vast majority of the people, you know, they're doing the same thing.
I don't tell them to follow me. They know what I'm interested in.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Hey, I'm just curious.
Are they just tweet at all?
I know. So also, you get a little more risque during the Seahawks games. Frustration.
Well, when your quarterback does
like some F bombs,
a spin-a-rooney and throws the ball up in the air at the end of the half for an interception, you can say the F word. I think you get a pass on that.
Okay.
So are these the same guys that respond every Sunday for Seahawks?
No, I don't know. It's just sports donks.
Okay. Sports donks.
Sports nerds.
Yeah, a bunch of lurches with Twitter.
Yeah.
Lurch would love it, like the live tweet games and that sort of thing. The only thing Lurch just couldn't handle was just people just joning on you, which happens all the time.
Right, when you pick a loser, like I picked the over last night, 45 and a half. Right? Close.
Yeah, but you don't have to put that on Twitter.
I know, but it's on the podcast, so people, you know, say, yeah, nice pick. So
they would know.
But they wouldn't have talked about the two winners I picked on Sunday.
No.
But they'll talk about the one loser. That's what they'll talk about.
No.
Yeah, I couldn't handle Twitter. I couldn't do it. I don't think I would even do the live tweets. I don't think I could, during games?
Yeah,
I couldn't do that.
It is kind of fun.
Well, don't you just want to sit there and kind of watch it to yourself?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what I do during games is I have my computer up, right? I'm watching all the games and I have my computer up. And
with
I,
all the scores.
And all the scores and I do live bets.
Right.
So if I was doing live tweets, then that
would take away from live bets.
You're not live betting like plays, are you? You're not at that point yet.
No, I live bet lines and totals.
So you'll live bet quarters
like for
and
the
halves?
For Skins Giants games, I probably made 8 live bets during that game, all Giants, all winners.
What were the bets?
Well, at one point, the Giants were minus 10. When they were up 10-0, they were minus 10.
So what'd you do?
I laid the 10.
Right.
And then when they went up 17, I think they were minus...
The peanut gallery's laughing. Why are you laughing?
I'm reading your tweets, your silly tweets that everyone's interested in that follows you.
Yes.
Picked up a silly putting tip from Nancy Lopez today on the Golf Channel. Hope I remember it 4 months from now.
What was it?
She had a great putting tip.
What is it?
What is the putting
for
tip?
For me, and it's simple, I'm not a very good putter. But, you know, Jack, see, I just bum rushed his story. You guys bum rushed his story.
I know, but he's size. He's size for putting tip.
We got nothing like time.
Like Lee
Nancy,
Trevino.
I was watching on the Golf Channel. They had all. It was the lessons from the ladies, like classic lessons from the ladies over the last year or two. Uh-huh. I just got sized.
Right. And this is what they fill the Golf Channel with in December.
And every time I see Nancy Lopez, I just keep thinking she was married to Ray Knight. Like, yes. How weird is that?
Absolutely.
But anyway, she's Nancy Lopez, one of the greatest golfers of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Her thing that she did in putting. So Jack's putting tip was always find a spot like halfway to the hole, right? And then you putt to that spot. And, you know, you see your line and whatever, putt to that spot. Mm-hmm. Her whole thing is she puts a spot like 1 inch away from the ball. So she lines up her line or whatever, but she doesn't have the spot, like, say, halfway to the hole.
Right.
Her
in front
spot
of the ball.
Is like 1 inch. So all you got to do is you just hit that line. Obviously, you got to have the speed, right?
Yeah.
But for her line, it's 1 inch for the ball. And it's just silly tip.
Why?
And I'm butt sized to go out.
Why
and use
is that
it.
Any better than,
actually,
than Jack's?
Than Jack's halfway
because it's a
to
little
the
easier
hole.
To hit the target that's 1 inch away than it is to hit your target that's, say, 10 feet away. For me, anyway, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but the
to me.
Target that's 10 feet away or 15 feet away is closer to the hole. The one that's right,
right.
in front
well,
of the ball,
assuming,
you might be offline anyway.
You might be, but assuming you make the right read, you've got a good line,
mm-hmm.
her target, and it makes just a ton of sense to me. It was like 1 inch in front of the ball.
I'm guessing that's not going to help your putting, though.
It's going to help me.
Because you practice all the time.
No, but it's going to help me. Anyway.
So, Drabby, Seattle certainly going to the playoffs. They're 8-5. Right now they're in the fifth spot. So you got the Saints, the Rams, Chicago, Dallas, Seattle. Right now, Minnesota's still in because they have that 6-6-1 record. They have that tie that's helping them. But Carolina, who sucks right now, Philly, and Washington, still right there in the mix. Now, I don't believe Washington's going to win another game, but mathematically, they are right in the mix.
We are going to win another game.
I know you think that they will.
I think I think the Skins can finish 8-8 and still find a way in. Definitely possible.
We got to find a way. We got to win this week, though. We have to win this week. Have to.
And you have a glimmer of hope.
Oh, yeah. We're playing the poopy. We could easily lose. We're playing the poopy Jags. Of course I have hope. Of course I do.
What if Sanchez was still starting?
He didn't look very good. It would be harder. It'd be harder to be excited.
I don't think Johnson's going to play very well this week.
I think Johnson gave us a glimmer of hope.
Now, because Jacksonville,
you changed the channel though. Did you watch much of when Johnson came in?
Yeah, I watched the first touchdown. When it was 40-8, I turned it.
Jaguars are 7-point favorites, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I love my boys plus the number.
They're plus the number last week.
Yeah. I thought they played better last week, too, to be honest with you.
Although
I've been wrong about them all year, except I did predict them to win 5 or 6 games.
In the live
betting? I started at 5, and I think I finished at 6.
So I placed about 6 bets on the Giants in the live betting, and then when Johnson came in, it was 40-0.
Mm-hmm.
And the live number was -40. So the Giants were -40 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, they're just going to run the ball, and you know, they're just trying to get out of there, and Johnson's probably going to make some things happen because he can run a little bit.
So you took the skins plus
40.
Right.
It was the only skins bet I made.
Wow. So, okay, so you're doing live, you're doing total live bets or quarter live bets, that sort of thing.
No, the live betting number, so whatever the score is.
Right, but you're not betting next pass is going to be
next
play is going to be a pass.
No, my site doesn't offer that.
Right.
They don't do that. Jordan Reed, by the way, looks like, and we kind of assume this, looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the year with that toe injury. So this is I'm not sure if this is the same toe that he had last year.
Well, they said they did an MRI yesterday. I didn't hear the results.
Gruden said he's gonna miss a week, but he's probably gonna miss the rest of the year.
I heard he couldn't put really any weight on it.
Yeah,
on
Sunday, he's getting carried off. So you know, he's guy's always hurt. We mentioned the Wizards; they lost in Indiana last night. No John Wall, of course. He's got that heel
he was there on
issue.
The bench though.
Yeah, he's got the heel issue. The starting five. Well, I mean, look, Porter got hurt too.
Porter
only
got
played like
too.
10 minutes. So after that, it was Bryant, Rivers, Beal. Beal took 27 shots. Sato, and I guess Oubre came in.
Oubre played pretty well, the parts I watched.
Yeah.
He had like 5
He had 23.
Shots. Yeah.
But that's just
But they just have to play better defense. It doesn't matter. They can score points. They got to play better defense. They got to close out. They got to rebound.
But allowing 109 is not bad compared to what they usually allow.
Yeah, believe me, they could do much better.
That's a poop starting five.
They could do much better.
What are you going to get from Bryant, Austin Rivers, and Sato? Nothing.
Yeah. For some reason, Brooks likes Sato. He made a point of that a couple weeks ago, that he's going out of his way to give him minutes. And by the way, you know what's shocking? The Wiz players were distraught when they traded Jason Smith. I don't know if you read any of that, Seth. They were bitter, and they were upset. They just loved him on the team.
For Sam Decker?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with Sam Decker. They just loved Jason Smith. He was like a positive guy. They loved him in the locker room. They loved him on the bench.
Well, that was the problem. He was always on the bench.
Yeah, I mean,
he wasn't playing.
They contribute a lot on court, but off court,
younger.
They loved him.
They wanted to get younger and more athletic.
The guys were distraught.
Yeah, okay, well.
It's crazy.
They don't run the team. Yeah. Stop losing to Indiana.
Yeah.
Then maybe you can make some decisions. But the Wizards lost, and I don't know if you read this about the Chicago Bulls. So the Chicago Bulls fired Fred Hoiberg. And
I did read this about the coach.
The interim guy
militant.
Is Jim Boylan, right? He's militant. Now apparently there's some mutiny. He was making a practice. They lost by 56 on Saturday. So then he made a practice.
Yeah, and the guys were bitter.
Yeah. Well,
there's nothing wrong with what practicing.
He's putting them through conditioning drills.
Well, okay.
I mean, they're losing by 60.
Yeah, you guys just embarrassed yourselves.
Of course.
He's cracking the whip a little bit.
But apparently they boycotted practice the other day.
What does that tell you about these guys? Bunch of softies.
Softies. And then he went out last night and got blown out.
You know what? It's not going to work. They're having a mutiny.
Yeah, so he's probably not going to last.
Not going to work.
All right, anyway, a big
show.
We got
more. Can we do more when we come back?
Yeah, we talk about Bryce if you want.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Bryce situation.
Talk about the winter meetings. There's some hot rumor going on out there in Vegas at the Mandalay Bay that Syndergaard is going to be traded, a big three-way deal with the Mets, the Marlins, and the Yankees. And then you've got the Bryce rumors. There's all kinds of stuff.
Bryce rumors are all over the place.
Everywhere. Yeah. Also have Rick Snyder at 7. And, of course, Mike Locksley is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. And Alan May. Jerry Brewer in the 9 o'clock hour. We're the Junkies. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
wants to talk about his memories of Jay Gruden after we have Rick Snyder on the show.
Well, here's the thing. I was sitting around yesterday. I was thinking, something's got to give, right? If they swoon the way we think they're going to, Jason thinks they're going to lose the last three. I think they're going to win one or two, but maybe not. Obviously, there's got to be changes. Hopefully, Bruce is the first one. If they
win one or two, if they win two, you can't fire them because
they'll have a hard time.
Yeah,
but let's just assume that they don't, because the odds are stacked. They got their fourth quarterback. It's not the odds are against them.
But if he's winning games with Josh Johnson,
yeah,
that's some.
But I agree. But let's just assume they don't. So they finish like 6-10 or something. 5 years, one playoff appearance. I mean, obviously, you got to let him go. I was just thinking back of things. What am I going to remember most about his tenure? Because I do have a fondness for him. It's not like I hate Jay Gruden. I actually like him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wrote down some things, that come to mind.
Okay.
For Jay, and people could chime in, and maybe you can add a couple that might pop in your head after I just give you a few things. And they're not overly specific things, but they're just things that come to mind when I think about Jay Gruden in his 5 years here.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that at 7:20.
So do you believe that Jay Gruden's kind of coaching these last three games for his job?
Absolutely. I absolutely do.
I don't know where I fall on that, because he's had 18 guys. Well, I think 17.
It doesn't matter. It's a cumulative thing.
I get it, but
he's been snake bitten.
17
no
guys, which leads the NFL on the IR. Jordan Reed's probably going to be number 18.
There's just too many times where they come up empty on big games, in the national spotlight, where you need to win.
I'm not saying he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
If it was my team, he would have been gone.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Bruce Allen and Dan might just keep him around because
I just don't think the fan base will talk. The fan base is demanding change. So...
Yeah, well, they've demanded change before, and nothing's happened.
Well, they'll change coaches.
Coaches.
The Bruce thing is more difficult to predict. Although I do think that the it's getting loud enough now that might be inevitable too. Thank God. Now, of course, it would have been a godsend if a team like Oakland swooped in and did something stupid like offer him a job. But I know that's fake news.
Gonna happen, right?
I know that's not going to happen. And I never even considered it when I saw that story yesterday. I laughed when I saw that story.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's funny because everyone was reporting it too.
That's just so dumb.
I mean, all the national guys were saying, well, it makes sense. They work together in Oakland. They work together in Tampa.
Do people think, like, that's the worst thing that you could have happen? It's like if you know Bruce. So if someone's worked with Bruce for 2 or 3 years, they're never going to want to work with him again. The guy's a complete fraud.
You know what it is? It's the national media doesn't pay attention.
They're not paying attention.
Day to day, what's happening in these local markets.
The guy is a buffoon. Now, maybe he's got some long-lost buddy from 30 years ago who might give him some paper-pushing job in a front office somewhere, in a corner office. Maybe he could get that. But, I mean, his big decision-maker days are done-ski. Done! It's just a matter of time.
I would assume the same.
And I think that Jay, too, if they miss the playoffs again, I just don't know how you can have one playoff appearance in 5 years and keep your job. And, listen, they've been riddled with injuries.
But if they bring back both Jay and Bruce next year, what's the fallout?
I don't know.
From the fans' perspective.
I don't know. I mean, you're just going to have emptier and emptier stadium. I just don't know. I don't think you can.
You would think.
The only thing I could see maybe is if they fired Bruce – this fan base would rejoice like no other. It'd be the next best thing to Dan selling the team. Hmm. You fired Bruce, and what if they fired the entire defensive staff? Now, the only thing is, then you're going to have Jay going on his fourth defensive coordinator.
Right.
Would you, does he really deserve that? At some point, he's got to bear some responsibility for the defense. He's the head guy.
I don't know, and those are the guys he's hiring.
But if they did that, it would be something. And it might move me to be somewhat excited. But I think the only way to really get excited is fire Bruce and fire everyone else, and you just got to start over and just accept it.
And then
start
there's
over.
Obviously
hope you make
huge
good hires.
Question marks at quarterback and who the quarterback's going to be.
Yeah, because you know what?
Next year's going to be a disaster.
Next year's going to be mediocre. Yeah. Might be worse.
Next year could be a 4-12.
Next year probably will be worse.
Depending on who the
quarterback
is.
Because they won't get off to a good start, and they'll have a poopy at quarterback.
So, you know, the winter meetings are going on out there in Vegas at Mandalay Bay. Love Mandalay Bay. Love that spot.
It's an oldie but goodie.
Mark Lerner, of course, did an interview with Grant and Danny last week, I guess, and talked about the Bryce Harper's, you know, negotiation. Bryce's agent, Scott Boras, didn't like some of the things that Lerner said.
Well, he didn't like it because it kind of takes them out of the running and that loses a potential bidder.
Right, because he's saying, you know, we're out of it. We offered $300 million. You know,
which could have been
that's as high as we can go.
On Lerner's part, that's what little leverage they might have. It might have actually been a brilliant job by Mark.
Could have been, because who knows what the actual market is for
because
Bryce.
You could just say, hey, the Nats publicly, they're out of it. And then if that market doesn't materialize for them,
they come back here.
Maybe can come back. It might have been a brilliant interview
you,
by
couldn't
him.
Couldn't you argue that's collusion, though? If you're giving out the numbers of the contract that you stated, and then like,
well, that's what Boras is saying. That's what Boras is saying.
I don't know how
that's saying that Lerner is not allowed to talk about the actual offer.
Well, I don't know. Did he say we offered him $300 million? Did he answer that? I know that's out there, but I'm not sure he spoke specifically to the numbers. Maybe he did. I remember hearing the interview.
I think he did, but you guys could run
it back. I just remember him saying, we gave him what we thought was our best offer, and we came hard with our best offer, and we said, this is, you know, if you like it, let us know.
Well, so anyway, Boras didn't like those comments. And again, who knows what the market is. Bryce and his wife and Boras have met with some teams, apparently they've been meeting for like couple hours about the future of the team and what they would do at the trade deadline, if they were in it or if they were out of it, and all that type of stuff. And Brian Cashman of the Yankees, apparently he's soured a little bit on Bryce Harper, and maybe he's focusing now on Manny Machado.
I don't think he's soured on Bryce. He just said, we have enough outfielders, and I don't want to play him at first.
Well, soured on the potential signing of Bryce.
Yeah, he basically said, we're not signing Bryce.
Yeah. But that's not souring on him. It's like, we already have an outfield.
Oh, souring on the idea.
Yeah.
You're nitpicking here.
Yes. A little bit.
So who knows what the market is? Who knows if it's going to be a National League team or American League team? But do you believe that it's still a strong possibility? Barry Svrluga still thinks it's a possibility that Bryce does come back.
Yeah, I read Barry's article, and I don't think Barry necessarily thinks it's a strong possibility, but he thinks, listen, it's definitely still not a done deal. And I think he does make a good point. Let's say Philly ends up being sort of the leader in the clubhouse, and it looks like he's going to go to Philly. The Nats offered him 30. The Phillies step up, and they're going to offer him 35. Are they really going to go against Bryce for the next 13 years, and haggle over $5 million per year? Are they really going to do that? So,
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, the $5 million per doesn't sound like a lot. But the overall contract's a lot.
The overall contract's a lot, but they're not averse to big contracts.
If you're talking about $330 million versus just the $5 million over what the Phillies were offering, especially after you signed Corbin, that's a bigger deal.
Okay. Listen.
You're going to have to sign Rendon if you want to keep Rendon.
Yeah, no, they have a lot of money
after this year.
Spend.
Trey Turner down the road.
And he points out the Nats have been sort of in the top 5 to 8 in terms of money spent like the last 4 or 5 years. They're not averse to spending money.
And there's luxury tax penalties.
Right, but he also points out that if you're under the tax 1 year.
Does it reset?
It resets.
Yeah.
So it's not quite as penal.
Yeah, but I don't know if the Lerners want to pay that penalty.
I don't think they necessarily want to, but they're.
They don't. In the interview with Grant and Danny, that was the one thing Mark Lerner said that he wishes he never did was go over the luxury tax.
Yeah, of course. I would understand that. Why would you want to? But it's not like it's overly penal the way it is in some other leagues.
So who knows?
In the NBA, it's a lot more.
Didn't they say it would break down to $2.5 million in tax?
I don't know.
It's 20% on the
million.
The first penalty of whatever
it's $2.5 million.
Whatever the dollar value is over.
It's not.
The threshold.
Yeah, it's not a killer. So
yeah, but these guys.
That's just the argument.
But the way they look at it is they're not getting anything out of it.
Yeah.
So they don't want to just write checks for nothing.
Let's go real quick to James. James, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man. Good morning, guys. Love your show, man.
Thanks
for it every morning.
What's up?
Yeah, no, I was just chiming in. You guys couldn't decide which, if you said the $300 million,
did
but
he
I did listen
that?
To that interview. Yeah, he did mention the $300 million, and then he did reiterate it was a fair offer.
Yeah.
You know, which are you kidding me? $300 million?
Of course it is.
I always go back to that A-Rod deal. And during the regular season, he shined, and then he was just a choker for Texas as well as the Yankees, except that one Yankee World Series that they won. But
yeah.
Other than that, I don't know. And that's a tough decision. With that money, you could probably buy some good young talent. You know, I know Bryce is loved in the town, and he's an awesome guy, but you got to put that aside and look at what he's going to produce.
I think they'll be good either way, to be honest with you.
I agree.
I think they'll be good either
way. I agree.
And I think they know that.
And Rizzo definitely feels that way.
Yeah. So
now Rizzo loves Bryce.
And I think the Rendon deal was a better deal anyway.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with that. But apparently there's in the collective bargaining agreement, there is a rule that states that you are not allowed to talk to the media about the substance of whatever deal or whatever
player. All right. So he botched it.
Yeah.
So he botched it. But it's
But you know, it's not like, look, Boris isn't worried about that. They just want to get the kid signed. For a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which he will. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, we'll see. I have no idea. I doubt it'll be here. I think the Nats have doubted it'll be here for a long, long time. But, you know, Barry's probably got a fair point. It's not over yet. Not over yet for sure.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to our good friend Rick Snyder. We'll get into the Skins with him. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.